I have no doubt that God plucked me from that road, from that car onto the sidewalk for his purposes. And the biggest challenge, personally speaking, even to this day, is surrender. Mm. Just completely surrender to God. Yeah. And that is so difficult for me to do, and so difficult for many people to do, I'm guessing, because you don't want to lose control. Mm-hmm. But when you lose control, you gain God's control, and that's just infinitely so much better.
Wow.
I'm an American, a Westerner, teaching in China, which is a communist country.
Right. Yeah.
God gave me the strength to put Psalm 32:8 above my blackboard. And I said, I'm teaching you the same way that my God teaches me.
Stories stir the soul.
Stories reveal.
And stories heal.
In this podcast, we will give you an inside look at someone who's had a life-changing breakthrough.
Real people, real stories with real breakthroughs. As a health and wellness expert and coach, and Todd as a men's mentor,
we've seen firsthand what God can do when it comes to a breakthrough. So lean in, listen well. This could be your biggest breakthrough.
Hello, and welcome to Your Biggest Breakthrough. I'm your host, Wendy Pett.
I'm Todd Isburner.
Yeah, Todd. So listen.
Yeah,
Wendy. I'm curious. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done something that God has asked you to do that just really made no sense?
Well,
don't say marry me.
No, I was going to say marry you.
No way.
That didn't make a whole lot of sense, but look what happened. Actually, there have been a few times. I'm thinking about one where there was an offering at church for a special project, and we were asked to pray about it. And then there was this number that came up, and I thought, that is not, I said, get behind me, Satan. That's not God.
You did not.
But it was actually God. So I had to follow through.
Did you obey?
I did. Okay, I did. Good. And God made up the difference. It made no sense to me whatsoever at the time, but God came through. He made sense of it.
But you know, God works that way so often. It doesn't make sense. We don't feel like, no, am I really hearing God's voice, or am I making that up? Or?
Well, that's the whole story from our guest today.
Yeah.
Matthew Faye Terry is going to remind us that God can use anyone at any time for anything, even if it doesn't seem like it doesn't make sense.
Right. And we're going to hear what really happens when you drop everything to follow God and go all the way across the world.
Yeah. Here's a man who was successful and then unemployed for 2.5 years. And he gets this invitation.
Like, what's next?
And then God drops his bomb in his life. Like, come to China. Like, what? Wait a minute. So today you're going to be inspired to just follow God, to trust him, even if you don't have all the answers yet.
Well, welcome, Matthew, to Your Biggest Breakthrough. We are delighted to have you.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Thank you for taking time out of your day to speak with me.
Well, we believe you've got something important to share with our listeners. That's why you're here. We call it Your Biggest Breakthrough. And, you know, just we've given our listeners a little taste of what we're getting into by way of our bio. But I mentioned to you just before we got rolling here, you know, you're the kind of guy that can drive some of us crazy because.
Or this one.
Yeah. I'm personally
and my wife.
One, yeah. Okay. So I'm personally one who loves certainty. Like I like really want to know that this is going to work out okay. You're the type of guy who apparently threw all common sense out the window.
Said, God, right. I think he just was letting the Holy Spirit lead.
I know, but that seems so weird.
Common sense too.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into that. But let's first find out a little bit, like, who are you and what happened before God called you to go to China? What was life like for you?
Well, I was pondering that question last night, actually anticipating you might ask that. I want to go back to maybe when I was in second grade, third grade. I was riding my bicycle down a hill in my hometown of small town of Janesville, Wisconsin, going full speed on my bike, and I round downhill, mind you, on the road, and I turned to go home, and within 20 feet was a car heading right towards me.
Oh, wow.
And the next moment, I was on the sidewalk going in the same direction, remaining on my bike.
Oh.
Those few seconds, I have no recollection. And I have no doubt that God plucked me from that road, from that car onto the sidewalk for his purposes. Eventually, I'm going to have to write something about this, but I really didn't give it much thought until recently. So I think what God's purpose is for me seems to me like it's coming more clear, if I may be so bold. Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward, I did spent some time in LA. That was kind of a wasted time. And then I got into the corporate world here in Chicago, and I was working with them for 10 years in the payroll / HR. Miserable. I was not happy at all. And I just said one simple prayer: "Dear God, get me off this sinking ship." And within months, wait a minute.
Can we quote you on that prayer? Maybe that's going to be the new prayer for a lot of people. Get me off this sinking ship.
By all means, you can quote me. I mean, the company was good. I like the people, but I was a round peg going in a square hole, and I was being bullied by my boss. So that's what kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And I said, "Dear God, get me off the sinking ship." And then within a few months, God graciously answered that prayer. I was laid off. This is January of 2011. 2.5 years of unemployment, but still remaining faithful to my church and to God. I was working with some international college students at Moody Church in Chicago. And one of the volunteers, she asked me this simple question: "Matt, have you ever thought of teaching in China?" And I thought, that never even occurred to me.
Why would it?
We've got Zoom.
Why would it?
Yeah.
So I immediately said, "Well, okay, let's put it to prayer." And I said, "Thanks for the tip." And this Chinese international student said, "What is a tip? You want money for this?" I said, "No. A tip is thank you for the advice." So I talked to my wife Pearl. She, as I mentioned, she's a Hong Konger, born in Hong Kong. So I'm already close to the Chinese culture through her. So we prayed about it, and I prayed to God, and we prayed as a couple. And my prayer was just simple: Heavenly Father, if this is a path you want me to take, remove all the roadblocks. Just remove the roadblocks. Well, he removed the roadblocks, and I found this one page on college in Guangzhou, China. And I applied for it and had a great interview. And within 12 hours, the same day, I got the email: "Matthew, we would love to have you come to China and teach."
Quick response.
That was a quick response. So again, Pearl and I, we prayed about it. Is this the path you want me on? You want me to go to this particular Peijiang College in Guangzhou? And God cleared the path. He just simply cleared the path. This was now August of 2012 when I went there.
And did Pearl go with you?
No, she remained home because she's retired now, but back then she was a full-time teacher teaching Mandarin to China, to college students at high school level. Yeah, so she had her own a batch of students that she cared for and wanted to continue teaching. So she remained at home. And praise God for technology. And I don't mean that lightly. Thank God for Zoom. And what was the other one? The other popular platform that people use for videotaping. Anyway, so we would talk almost on a daily basis. And then she would give me tips on, you know, how to become a teacher, how to relate to students. So the first day of teaching at Peijiang College, the first day, first hour, first class, first week, I was so nervous, of course. I was eager to see how God would work in this, but I was really nervous. And I did the roll call, introduced myself, and then the things really slowed down quickly if the students were getting bored. I thought to myself, do you understand English? Are you understand, but you're too shy to respond? all of the above. So it's more or less all of the above. So I simply closed my eyes, and like Nehemiah, I said a silent prayer. Dear God, you take over.
Yeah,
and he did. Yeah. The Holy Spirit took over. And I wrote, this is an old school classroom now. We didn't have whiteboard. They had a blackboard, a chalkboard.
Oh, wow.
And on a good day, we had chalk. So this is pretty provincial. Right. So I wrote her name on the chalkboard, Ming Chu, and the students looked at it, and they looked at me. Then the floodgates open. Ah, is she Chinese? Did she come here? Does she speak Cantonese? Does she speak Mandarin? Do you have children? Are you married? How long have you been married? All the questions are coming.
Wow.
And I that really broke through. So I said, okay, God, now what to do from here? So I reenacted how I met Pearl Ming Chu here in Chicago, using various students to perform various roles. Use a couple of students to do Ming Chu, using a couple of male students to do my best friend, Kevin. I played myself, and it was just fantastic. And while I'm doing all this, I'm teaching them new vocabulary, writing the words on the chalkboard. And then they just absolutely loved it.
And then they said,
do you have any questions? And they repeated the story back to me in English.
Wow.
And I thought, thank you, God, for this is the building stone of these relationships with these students. And to this day, I'm still in contact with many of them.
Wow. That's so awesome. Beautiful. We got to just put it in reverse for just a minute here, because it sounds too easy when you said yes to God.
Now, yeah. Like your doubts, fears, like where were you? Any pushback?
The only pushback that I got from, and that wasn't really pushback, it was just more of a cautious tale from Pearl. She says, just be really careful when you're in China, because many people will take advantage of you being a Westerner, and they'll try to seduce you, maybe convince you to take them back to America so they can become a citizen. Just be very, very careful of that. And she says that no matter where you go, keep a photocopy of your passport on your person. Wow. Leave the passport in the college dorm, but have a copy with it on your person at all time, and know the phone number by memory of the U.S. embassy.
That's smart.
That's actually really smart. Yeah. That's good to know.
Yeah.
You know, many of our listeners would wonder if they're, or if they have missed their moment. Like, this is a moment for you. Like, you weren't thinking about going to China, but someone planted that seed and God watered it. And all of a sudden, there you are. And you're making a difference, you know, helping to teach English over there. But what would you say to someone feeling stuck and unsure of what's next in their life? I mean, you'd been laid off for 2.5 years. Mm. You were, you know, being faithful and doing things with Moody church and school, but you just didn't know what God had for you until all of a sudden this sparked and kind of probably caused your heart to leap a little bit, right?
What I would recommend anybody who's gone through or is going through or will eventually go through, never forget this. Keep this handy. Ponder the scripture. Read the Bible, and if something pops out at you, you remember that verse, you write it down. There's a reason God wants that. There's a reason God wants you to remember that verse.
Yes.
Pray constantly, never ending. Doesn't have to be formal. Dear God, what do you want me to do? What are you telling me to do? And the biggest challenge, personally speaking, as if you for me, even to this day, is surrender. Just completely surrender to God. And that is so difficult for me to do, and so difficult for many people to do, I'm guessing, because that you don't want to lose control. But when you lose control, you gain God's control, and that's just infinitely so much better.
Wow.
Well, and that control that we think we have isn't control anyway. It's all an illusion.
It's all an illusion. Correct.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, I'm just fascinated by the fact that you're asking God to get you off the sinking ship. So he says, okay,
fine, you let go.
But did you think it was going to be 2.5 years of sort of drifting, not knowing exactly where things were headed? How did you, handle that in Turnpike?
I kind of knew that because I'm a news junkie, so I follow the news closely. In 2008 was when the economy took a nosedive. And because my then employer was so closely tied to the housing market, that was the double whammy.
So my
employer just had to lay off people who are doing double duty. Too many chefs in the kitchen. In other words, I was on a duplicate role. So that's the reason why that company was laying off people.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So I went in there, not too naive, not expecting to be unemployed for 2.5 years, but I kind of figured it would take me at least several months to find a job.
I love the fact that while you were volunteering with Moody, that this person came up to you, this woman, and asked you that question, which seems so random.
Yes, correct.
Except for God, because God is like that. He will show up in ways we don't expect.
Yeah.
So once you were moving in that direction, knowing, okay, this is God opening up a door here, and then you get to China, were there any ways in which God surprised you again once you were there? There's some things that happened you didn't expect.
Oh, my. Yes. So many ways.
Yes. We want to hear
so many ways.
Yeah,
come on.
The biggest one was, now you have to kind of put this into perspective. I'm an American, a Westerner, teaching in China, which is a communist country.
Right. Yeah.
I was bold enough. Nah, let me rephrase. God gave me the strength to put Psalm 32:8 above my blackboard. Mm-hmm. I will teach you and guide you and show you the way to go. I will watch over you and counsel you. I had this printed out in large words above the chalkboard.
I have to just to remind us, it's Psalm 32:8, because I know somebody's going to say, what was that one?
Yeah, 32:8. And I did that for a couple of reasons. Number one, because again, my primary job was to teach the students new vocabulary. I was teaching spoken English. So they saw this, and what does counsel mean? What do you mean watch over you? Does that mean you're going to be following me? So I was explaining what the words meant. And I also explained what you're reading here. This is how I will teach you. This is how I will guide you. If you have any problems with classes, with boyfriends, girlfriends, cafe food, you have any problems, you let me know and I will help you. And I was explaining this to them, and I said, I'm teaching you the same way that my God teaches me. He watches over me. He counsels me. He lets me know when I'm going in the wrong direction. If I need help, I'll ask him. So I'm going to teach you exactly the way God taught me.
So was
and
that?
Pardon me for interrupting, Wendy. You're okay. So they grasped that. They had the wherewithal to grasp that understanding, and I think that really helped build the relationship between student and teacher.
Yeah. So I think that's what I was curious about is, was it openly received? I mean, obviously that scripture verse was, but did that open the door for you sharing the gospel?
Absolutely.
Let's hear about that.
I got to the point where I had actual Bible studies in my on-campus dorm room.
Oh wow. My goodness. In China.
That's
unheard of. It's a country that isn't openly receiving the gospel.
And also, one of my lesson plans on the secular side, and this is how God gave me the strength. On the secular side, I had one of my lesson plans was teaching them about Tiananmen Square, what happened in June of 1989. And I had a big photograph of Tank Man. And for those listeners who don't know the tank, you can't visualize a tank man photo, is that one Chinese man standing in front of a column of tanks, and he stopped the entire column of tanks. That's a famous photo. So I asked the students, do you recognize this photo? Do you know what this photo is? And they said, no. And I said, I guarantee you, I know more about this than you do. And I taught like a 5-minute lecture about what happened in Tiananmen Square. And that was kind of stupid. Because I could have easily been thrown out of the campus and kicked out of the country for that.
Why?
Well, that's why I kept it down to 5 minutes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I mean, were there times where you felt, man, I think I might be crossing the line here, and am I going to get in trouble?
There's one. Yes, I felt like I was getting dangerously close to the line, and they had this one male student. For some reason, he just didn't take to me. And he sat in the back row corner, and he would just constantly glare at me, glaring at me. And he intimidated me just through his looks. I don't know if he was a communist, student communist party member. I don't know. But I just thought he's making me a little nervous. I'm not sure if he's studying me, what his purposes are. But by that time, that's when I had to suddenly go home because of Pearl's subdural hematoma. So I'm not really sure what happened with that.
Well, you know, we all know that God works in mysterious ways, right? So to get you to China, and then for Pearl's condition to happen in this moment when you're like, I don't know about this kid. Yeah. I mean, it could be a blessing in disguise. I don't know. I mean, obviously Pearl's doing well. Mm-hmm. But you just never know, right? Like God has his hand on everything and it doesn't always make sense. But I'm curious about what impact did you see the gospel have on your students when they heard it for the first time, when you were having these kind of underground Bible studies? Like what did you experience with these students?
Pure intrigue. Because that's one of the things that I love about the Chinese students, in particular college students. They're so interested in everything. They want to learn, because it's ingrained in their brain to constantly learn.
And yeah.
Education is so important in that society.
Yes.
So they really wanted to learn, and I was eager to teach them. Some students were already Christian, baby Christians, young Christians, as it were. So they just wanted to learn more about Jesus and the faith. And some students just wanted to know, who is Jesus? I don't understand Holy Spirit. What does holy mean? Mm-hmm. You know, so I taught them as best as I can. And one of the students, in fact, I'm still giving Bible lessons to via WeChat, which is a platform they use in China. I'm still giving Bible lessons to her. Beautiful. I gave her a Chinese English Bible while in China, while on campus. Yeah. So she's getting closer to accepting Jesus as her Lord and Savior.
Yeah. And you just don't know.
You're on a missions trip.
I'm still on a missions trip with
right.
this. On a missions trip. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you just never know the rippling effect that it can have. One student telling somebody else, having an impact on a family member, whatever. Yeah. It's all in God's hands. But the fact that you were obedient in the first place to go with a heart to serve, you know, will absolutely pay off for these Chinese students. So we're excited to see or hear. We may never know or hear where things are going to end up.
Well, we will one day in heaven. You'll get to see the ripple effect. But the cool thing is that you have decided to take this missionary experience and turn it into a screenplay called English Corner. Yeah. And have you ever written a screenplay before? Is this your first one? What got you on that trajectory?
Well, it all started with Facebook, actually. I was using Facebook back in Peking College, sending posts several times a week. And my cousin, who happens to be an author, Kathy Boldock out of Cincinnati, she says, Matt, have you thought about taking these posts and just making a journal out of these posts? And I thought, well, okay. So I just copy and pasted all these posts and put into a Word document. And I thought, as I was reading this, and I thought, you know, this would be a good memoir. So I put it into a memoir form. Put it on self-published through Amazon, and I was reading the memoir, and I thought, you know, this would be a good screenplay. So I wrote a screenplay on it and pitched it to a few producers out in in Hollywood. And one producer, he took an interest in it, and he gave it what they call a recommend and consider, which is similar to a high school student receiving an acceptance letter from a college. It's a very high praise. So I read the screenplay again, and I thought, there's a lot of missing parts in this. This could be easily a mini series. So I wrote it into a mini series. So it went from the memoir called I Came to You in Weakness. Then I wrote the screenplay called Dragonflies. And then the third one is English Corner, which is the mini series. And that's where it is right now. I've written so far 5 complete series episodes of the mini series. Wow. And I see this going probably to 10 or 11.
Wow. All right, I'm so inspired. I mean, I've thought of screenplays myself, but I'm thinking, how do you even tap into that? But I mean, you inspire me.
Well, it began with Facebook posts. So that's where I'm still back at your Facebook posts. Like, what were you trying to do and what were those posts about?
Well, just my daily life, my weekly life. Just this is what journaling. This is what I did in the classroom. And my first day, I showed the kids how I met my wife, Ming Chu. Just generic, informative Facebook posts, just telling people, my friends, I don't have followers, I have friends, what life was like. And I, share some pictures but they're not just one or two sentence posts. I mean, some of these were pretty in depth. They could run easily a paragraph or two paragraphs long. So that's how the whole thing began.
And so what are you hoping now that this was developed into a memoir and then a series? What are you hoping for? What do you want the viewers to receive? What message are you trying to communicate?
Well, there's a couple of messages I want to, couple of areas I want to see this going. Number one, and no, this is just in random order. There's not enough movies out there, especially streaming movies, that are fit and really lean people towards God. I mean, I belong to Netflix and Amazon Prime, and when I'm very careful when I choose my movies. If I see it's rated, if it's got wonderful actors and it's rated R, sorry, I'm not going to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's not enough movies that just point people towards God. That's number one. And number two, I lost my train of thought.
That's okay, Matthew.
I lost my train of thought.
Number one is big enough to carry number two.
I just reverse one back to the station. Okay. I'm doing the proof of concept or POC series. And that's just going to be a marketing tool to pitch. Well, hopefully some studios will want to buy the first episode script. And the best comparison I can make is this POC, proof of concept script, that I'm, God willing, will be made into a short film. This is equivalent to John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer paved the way for Jesus. The POC will pave the way for the miniseries.
Oh, I love it.
I'm not equating myself as John the Baptizer.
No, we got you.
That's just a parallel.
Yeah, I was looking for the camel hair covering, but it looks to me like
the locust.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, Matthew, like, what encouragement would you offer someone who they feel called to do something a little radical? Maybe it's go to China, maybe it's not, but they're scared to take that first step. What would you say to them?
Read Abraham's story. Mm. Pure and simple.
That's good.
Read how Abraham listened to God and obeyed God, and he had no idea where he was going. Read Abraham, trust, and obey.
That's good. And if someone, got off that sinking ship and they're now in the waiting room like you were for 2.5 years.
And then now they're about to get in the river.
but they don't know. Nothing has shown up yet. They're still waiting. How can you encourage them? Because they're getting impatient. They're getting tired. Like, God, this is right. Where are you? What's going on?
Well, the 5 steps in the waiting process. Obey what God has revealed to you so far. Whatever he's revealed to you, obey that.
There you go.
spend time in fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers, delve into scripture, not just reading it, pondering it. If a scripture pops out to you, delve into it. Why is this particular passage sinking into my heart? And then just, again, trust and obey. Those little five steps that I had to go through and still going through at times, going through at times.
That's good. So good. Such a good message, Matthew. Mm. And we are delighted that you obeyed God and took this radical journey over to China to teach English and to make an impact in the culture over there and for all for God's glory.
Yeah, and you seem like a normal person.
Well, he is normal. Like, what do you mean?
I thought maybe be a little wacky.
Ask Pearl, she'll give you a different story. But you know.
That's so funny. Well, where can we find you? Where can we find English Corner? Where can our listeners tap into your story?
Oh, Wendy, bless you for asking that question. Thank you. I was hoping somebody's going to open the door a little bit on that. I consider English Corner a mission and a ministry. I'm not doing this for my own personal gain. I've already made a promise to God that any monies I make, 10% will be tithed to Moody Church. The remaining 90% will be used for my next project. What I'm seeking is partners and laborers for English Corner, particularly in the financial area. So if you just go to www.mattfterry.com, that will take you to the homepage of my website, and you will see a way that if the Spirit moves you, that you may donate. And that's this wonderful money will go directly to the English Corner campaign.
Yeah, great. So it's Matt with two T's, Matt,
correct,
the letter F, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, .com.
And we will put that in the show notes as well so people can find that. So wonderful.
God has already provided me with a producer out of St. Louis, an Emmy Award-winning producer out of St. Louis who happens to be a believer. And he's interested in this. He's going to take the project on. So. That's again, this so is exciting. All God's timing. This when He wants to do this, how He wants to schedule all this. I'm just doing all the prep work like Nehemiah did. I'm doing all the prep work before I take it any as I take each step further. I'm making sure I'm doing all the prep work and seeking God above all. I'm not doing this for Matt Terry. I'm doing this for God.
Yes. Well, we can see that, Matt. Yeah. I mean, we can see that 100%. And so thank you for your inspiration.
Yeah, I love the way you just continue to reinforce us in our faith, that really it does boil down to just, you know, trust God and obey.
Yeah.
Follow His lead. He's got you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, my brother.
Well, God bless you. Thanks for being on Your Biggest Breakthrough.
Thank you again for taking time and showing a genuine interest in this.
Yeah. All right. God bless.
Thanks.
Well, that's a wrap for today's show. We hope you enjoyed it. As always, we love spending time with you right here on Your Biggest Breakthrough podcast. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode. But until then, just head on over to yourbiggestbreakthrough.com where you'll find some free resources and information and a place where you can comment, and we would love to dialogue with you there. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.